Fun fact, I recorded this entire episode yesterday. And I thought it was okay while I was doing it. And then I went back and I started to listen to some of it, as I always do before I publish anything. And I thought, you know, I don't like this. And if I had to guess, I think it's because a week ago, and this is very embarrassing to admit, but I think I gave myself a minor concussion when I went to look outside the window and I misjudged where the window frame was and I bashed my forehead smack into the wall. And I didn't think it was that bad. Have you ever done that where you hit your head and you think, oh, that's not a big deal? You bump it when you're getting out of the car or into the car. I don't know. I hope that's not just me. I do that all the time. Or you lean down under a desk and you pop up and you hit your head or something like that. And you think to yourself, it's not that bad. And then an hour or two later, you start to get a bump on your head and it starts to hurt. And in this case, that's exactly what happened. A few hours went by. I started to get this. you seen the episode of The Office where Michael goes, I tried hopping and I bumped my elbow. Now there's a protuberance. That's what was happening to my forehead. I started to get this bump on it and it got a little bruised. And so I iced it and I thought I'd be fine. But the next day in the days that followed, I started to get these headaches. And I've had a concussion before. I actually fell on the ice at after prom years ago and I overcompensated. And instead of falling backwards on my behind, I went sideways and I slammed the temple of my left side of my head into the ice. And I remember coming up and everything was dizzy and going in slow motion. And I definitely had a concussion and I actually got a black eye from that. And we had a choir concert the next week. And I remember trying to cover my black eye and then match my makeup on the other eye to try to sort of hide this black eye I had. And of course, I made up all these stories about how I punched somebody and it was a big thing. And anyway, sorry, tangents. But long story short, yes, I got a little bit of a concussion. I know that's what it was because I was a little bit nauseous off and on for a couple days and the headaches. And finally, yesterday, the headaches stopped. And for the most part, they were gone. And I thought, okay, this is good. So I did this episode because it's been way too long and I wanted to do this episode and I didn't like it. And I thought maybe my head is still in a bit of a fog. So I'm literally starting from scratch. I'm sorry, long intro, literally starting from scratch to do this episode for you today. But this is an interesting episode. It's a special episode. It is a Queen deep dive today, but it's not a rowdy one. It's not a raucous one. It's not something that's energetic and edgy like our previous episode, which was, of course, Brian May's Hammer to Fall. You know, I was thinking about this, the transition of that song into this one as well, and the mood and the tone and the sentiment that we set as we close out Queen's 11th album, The Works, from 1984. This is our last song on that album, and I'm a little bit melancholy about it, and the fact that I'm thinking about, I feel melancholy, and I'm using that word, a direct throwback to the ending of an album, a very special album from 1977. Of course, as you guys remember, on that album, on that Queen album, on News of the World, we go from the very edgy, energized, long, very rock and roll heavy number, It's Late, into a song that people, I think, often forget. At least I know I do. And the funny thing is, I love the song that follows It's Late. But because of the tone, because of that shift and that transition, I don't think you expect an album, especially from Queen, to end that way. So we go from that incredibly loud It's Late to the reserved, sad, My Melancholy Blues, one of my favorites from Freddie. And yes, it's so strange that I often space My Melancholy Blues. In some ways, It's Late feels like the end of News of the World to me. But we have that wonderful shift, that about face of energy from The Boys at the end of that album. And this is exactly the same, almost exactly the same. We have the kind of disturbing focus on death with Hammer to Fall, and then we go into this. And this is not your typical Queen number. That's not to say we haven't had so many dynamic moments from the boys. We have had every single emotion from these boys. I think every single one of them has given us a different feel and a different emotion through their compositions. Angst, uncertainty, fear, vulnerability, which I love hearing from a rock and roll band. Joy, enthusiasm, domination, sadness. Did I already say that? Sexiness. We've had all of that. We've had everything that encompasses being a human being from this band already. I don't think there's anything they haven't touched. And we have had moments like this that were incredibly reflective and sobering. A lot of them from Brian. And this is a song that was inspired by something Brian and Freddie witnessed. It's a song that a lot of people believe was written for Live Aid, partially because it was played at Live Aid, but not during the rest of Queen's beautiful, perfect set list that we're all so familiar with. So it's actually forgotten about at Live Aid. I think I've read several articles about that. People wrote about this long-lost, forgotten, one-off extra add-on from Queen that was performed at Live Aid and was so perfectly, it was just the perfect song for this, but it wasn't actually written for the event. There is a similar reason why it was written. Obviously, Live Aid was meant to raise money, help people, but it just so happens this song was written because Brian and Freddie were disturbed by something they witnessed and saw. And so this song is very, very special. It's serious. It's beautiful. It's touching. It's heartbreaking. And I think one of the biggest things about it that's so moving is how relevant it continues to be. Perhaps even more so. There are places in the world where this has been a constant, relevant sentiment. And many of us don't think about that on a daily basis or even a weekly basis, perhaps. Many of us don't even, we're in our worlds, we're in our lives, and we don't think about this kind of thing. So to get a song like this from these boys that have given us so much on the emotional spectrum, to get a song so sensitive like this, and real and raw. We're used to very real and raw from these boys, but this kind of reflection is quite rare, I think. And that's what makes it so amazing because it really rounds out these men, especially the composers of this song. And this is a rare collab songwriting credit for both Brian May and Freddie Mercury, save the unreleased Hangman, which was an elusive live number. I don't think a lot of casual fans know about Hangman. Go look it up if you haven't heard it. The song we're talking about today is the song, the closer for the works, Is This the World We Created? This is dive number 128, track 9. Of course, this album is shorter in track list compared to many, but not in time. We've talked about that because of the length of the songs, although this one is quite short, brief, the works has a runtime very similar to albums before it. We have a few songs on this album that are quite lengthy. Radio Gaga's one that's a little bit longer. Machines or Back to Humans is a little bit longer. But this song stands out on the album and I think holds a special place in many people's hearts, not just because of that Live Aid performance, but because of the other live performances and the way it sounds within the album itself. This is an acoustic rock ballad, incredibly sparse in arrangement, and it was the B-side to It's a Hard Life, released July 6th of 84 in the US and then July 16th of 84 in the UK. It's a very slow 79 beats per minute, but this is extremely rubato. There's a lot of ebb and flow to the tempo here. Freddie especially on this soaring, beautiful, touching lead vocal. There's a lot of room for interpretation and the way he's moving this vocal along. We're in the time signature of 4/4. Two keys, D flat major and the relative B flat minor. And the guitar is tuned down a half step, a little did you know. Is this the world we created? ? If it isn't immediately obvious, even based on the title, which I think is very telling, this song is asking all of us, look around you. What do you see? What is the world like? Not your world, not just your little world, but the whole world. The things that I think many of us turn a blind eye to or we don't want to think about. What does that look like? And what does that mean to you? And what does it say to us that there are things that we do or don't do that directly affect other people? Alone, we don't have a lot of power. There's very little we can accomplish by ourselves as far as improving the way of things. It takes every single one of us. And I think this cry out through this song that Freddie and Brian give us in this incredibly minimal arrangement is extremely impactful. Says a lot to us about where their hearts are and what they're thinking about. Even these men that have been living very comfortably and perhaps extravagantly at times through what they've earned doing what they love. That's what I love about this is I don't think this came from a place of we should write this because we're expected to write it. I think this came from a genuine place of concern. We know Brian has always been interested and concerned about the world at large and what people are doing to it and how people take care of it and take care of each other. He talks about that now. That's nothing new from Brian. But the interesting thing is, Freddie actually wrote the lyrics for this, at least most of them. And together, the two of them have created this piece that has so much power in its brevity. It's the only Queen song with acoustic 12-string guitar as the sole accompaniment. And one of Freddie's finest lyrical contributions. But it's a song that's more in Brian's vein with its very broad, reflective tone. Softly seeking, affecting in that movement, that tugging at the heartstrings with all that emotion. The simple arrangement is surprisingly rich. To hear these two men softly lament about such a sad, concerning reality that's a constant. This is a stark contrast to nearly every other song in Queen's catalog. Brian, of course, explores death and disaster multiple times. Even in the track that precedes this. Even so, the celebratory nature of the band usually took over as that overwhelming emotion expressed. Most people would say, Queen is an extremely joyful band. I just saw that on the Queen subreddit the other week. Someone asked the question, how would you describe Queen at large as a band? What's one word or an expression you would choose? And I was not the only person to say or think joyful. But this, Brian's finger picking, the gentle strumming, it backs Freddie's very restrained, soulful delivery. The entire thing is this very muted expression that reveals a softer soul in our front man. Perhaps a surprising eye-opening take. And we're not unfamiliar with Freddie's loneliness and longing. You take my breath away. Life is real. But hearing these words of concern for those who are suffering greatly is a very touching, beautiful statement, demanding consideration for the way we're living and how we treat each other. This is incredibly serious. Queen has been so tongue-in-cheek. I think we get the best of that from Freddie. But this is absolutely serious and intense and intentful. And you might be surprised that this was performed 71 times, nearly every set list between 84 and 86, and one performance in 03. And during live performances, Brian would play Roger's Gibson Chet Atkins CE nylon stringed guitar. It's so stunning. I was just listening to the Wembley performance from 86. It's quite stunning. More so than Live Aid, if only because you could hear a pin drop at Wembley. There are moments the crowd is entirely silent. It lets Brian and Freddie shine together. Freddie is emotional in the depths of all of it as he sings. He's really feeling this. Tinges of operatic touch, a lot of natural voice, even some spoken words. It's conversational. It creates a personal connection to the audience in that way. Brian's improvised, embellished, tender performance on guitar, very touching, light. The swells of chords behind the phrases, they create this very rich, sweeping atmosphere. That's the beauty of those live performances. The album take sounds like a live performance because we have just acoustic guitar and Freddie. But when you actually hear it on a stage, we have those extra synth elements, those orchestral chords that ebb and flow in the back. And it creates this really inviting, warm urgency around what Freddie is singing and what Brian is playing. Really a very different live Queen experience, but a welcome one and something you won't easily forget. I think this is needed. This is one of those moments where suddenly the two of them come out with this thing that's, in its sentiment, I think, incredibly unique. Sound, not as much, because we've had previous numbers like Love of My Life, which was performed similarly in a live setting, of course. Those moments where the boys are downstage, they're right there. They're right there with the audience. And the audience has a chance to just take it in and relax for a moment, as opposed to the rowdy, you know, Freddie, hey, you can do what you like. And oh gosh, I just love those improvised phrases, which I've no doubt he always had some in his back pocket to get people up and moving if they weren't quite as enthusiastic as he would like them to be. But this is not one of those moments. This is a time to sit there and really take it in. And that was often a thing. Even at Live Aid, you know, I talked about Wembley being this silence in this massive space. As Brian and Freddie played, Live Aid's audience, of course, much bigger. And even though there are, of course, pockets of conversations and ambient crowd noise, simply because of the size of that place and the people watching, there are many moments where it's pretty quiet at Live Aid as well. And I think that says a lot. Live Aid had so many performances that were bombastic from these big bands, and the crowd was constantly moving and energized. And then you get this. A very needed moment and a beautiful one in Queen's catalog and in that live performance set list. Wembley is so beautiful. Budapest is nice too, but Wembley really had a magic about it. Written in Munich, after Freddie and Brian saw footage of famine and suffering in Africa. So yes, similar to why Live Aid was put together in the first place, but still a unique moment from Brian and Freddie of, oh, wow, this is incredible. This is awful. We need to write about this. And this replaced There Must Be More to Life Than This, which was a Hot Space era remnant that nearly made it onto the works. It's funny when I read that, There Must Be More to Life Than This. That makes me think of Björk's song, which of course is nothing like Queen's There Must Be More to Life Than This, but a little diversion there. And the original demo of Is This the World We Created is rumored to have included piano as well as acoustic guitar, and fakes have emerged over the years, but nothing legitimate. Before the Live Aid performance, this was included in the compilation Greenpeace, the album. And that's, I didn't know that. That was a little, hey, did you know, for me. And I have one long quote about this song from Freddie in 84 of Westwood One. And I paraphrased this. Even so, it's incredibly lengthy, but I wanted to keep it because there are a lot of very telling elements here that speak to the process and how they went through the creation of this song, which was a unique experience. Quote, "I liked the way we actually processed because we were looking at all songs we had and we thought the one thing we didn't have was one of those real limpid ballads, the love of my life type things. Rather than sort of one of us saying, okay, I'm going to go back and do it, go back and think about it and write it. I just said, Brian, why don't we just think of something right here? And this song evolved in around 2 days. He got an acoustic and we just worked it out together. And I like it. That's why it's sparse. We only had a couple of days to get to the tail end of the project and we had to get the album released. There was a deadline and that kind of pressure helped. I came up with the lyrical side and then Brian came up with chords and something just happened. If we'd actually thought beforehand and said, okay, Brian and I should sit down and write a song together, I don't think it would have ever happened. All kinds of egos would have played havoc to start with and who does what. This way, we didn't have time to think about it. If it didn't work, we were going to throw it out and it seemed to work. And it was quite strong and we asked, this should work very well as a tail end of the album. It does sound like Brian's things. This is more in depth. Most of the lyrics on that song are mine. Yes, Brian did help with the odd line here and there. I love that he says that it sounds like a Brian thing because that was my first thought when I listened to this and I really thought about it in depth. I thought, this is so Brian. Long Away, White Queen as it began, All Dead, All Dead. We have a lot of these lamenting ballads and soft introspective moments from Brian. That's why I love his writing so much. But the lyrics here, and of course the expression here, that vocal expression is all Freddie. I think this equal partnership on this song very much contributes to that overall effect of intensity and emoting that we get from both of them equally. It always amazes me, and it really shouldn't at this point, but it amazes me how expressive Brian is through anything he picks up and plays. The man has a beautiful singing voice too, and I'll talk about singing voices a little bit more when I close this album out. I discovered a very awesome interview with Brian recently, and I want to talk about it. But Brian has that beautiful round tone in his voice that's quite soft, and he can drive it when he wants to. But have you ever noticed how people who sing and play have the same, somehow, the same demeanor comes through anything they pick up and play as when they sing? Which makes perfect sense. But everybody has this style when they play, whether it's a stringed instrument or a brass instrument or whatever it is. Something about the way they approach their instruments is the same as when they speak, when they sing. And Brian is so lyrical and classical in a way. Something about everything he touches has this ancient sounding classical element in some songs more than others. Love of My Life, when you listen to that acoustic guitar, so many stylistic approaches that scream classical music. I hear a little string quartet playing in my mind whenever I hear Love of My Life. And this song is like that too. Is This the World We Created? Has these rich lyrical expressions from Brian on guitar. And I immediately can hear stringed instruments here. It's compulsory whenever I hear Brian play. And we have that perfectly balanced with Freddie's expression. And honestly, his lyrics, his choice of words, and the way he expresses them here is so flawless. Just an absolutely stunning display of talent and effortlessness between the two of them. And no one has anything bad to say about this song. And it's not surprising given the song's message and especially its presence at Live Aid, that beautifully nuanced performance. I don't think people dare touch this song in a negative way. You can't possibly criticize a song like this because of what the singing is about. And it's so simple. It's so simply done. It's a really stunning display of restraint from a band who is all out, full blown, everything in the kitchen sink approach, and has only recently taken more restrained production avenues. Perhaps here and there we've had some of that. And that's not to say that the boys are going to continue to be restrained as they go forward. This is just a beautiful example of how two of these men can come together and really have this beautiful intention and realize it in a way that doesn't have to be loud and it doesn't have to be pretentious. And it's just an honest, genuine expression of concern. And I do have some praise from some surprising publications. Rolling Stone is the first. Rolling Stone called this, quote, an acoustic meditation on hunger and hate and generational responsibility sung with conviction by Mercury, unquote. Isn't that a beautiful summary of this song? For once, it doesn't feel like there's anything backhanded in that statement. It's simple. It's to the point. People Weekly, quote, a social consciousness raiser, unquote. Fans enjoy this, but it's a very quiet, soft enjoyment. It's often called underrated. And as I feel, it echoes and mirrors the closeout of News of the World. Fans have said the same thing. They compare the ending of the works with that hammer to fall transition into this song, Is This the World We Created, to its late and my melancholy blues on News of the World. Occasionally, someone will praise this as one of Freddie's finest lyrical moments. Love for this song is almost universal, but it's very quiet. But then this is certainly one of Queen's more pensive moments, like a lullaby. Brian opens with lovely acoustic, revealing the tonic, gently picked. It's almost glittery. We linger for a moment for Mata, but Brian makes magic again, opening with the tonic and falling into a chromatic transition of the tonic down. And this creates a touching chord progression that lands on A sharp. Beautiful the movement of the emotion through these chords. And as it resolves back to the tonic, tugs at the heartstrings, Brian crawls delicately upward again. And this is a sixth chord with that B flat present. Dun, dun, dun. So it's dun, da, 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 da. That's what we have here. Into the verse, relative minor B flat. Just look at all those hungry mouths we have to feed. Heartbreaking, isn't it? Freddie starting on D. It's a nice grounding into the tonic of the song as Brian plays in that relative B flat. We have another identical phrase, but Freddie goes up in vocal. Take a look at all the suffering we breed. How is it all these years, these decades later, in some ways, we're still here? Those parts of the world that never left, some have become more severe. It's a very brutal reality buried in the beauty of this song. These chords, G sustained second, D, F sharp, E minor sustained four. So many lonely faces scattered all around. This phrasing, the space between, those moments to breathe, it creates this beautiful wave of emotion, gives us time to process. Freddie's voice is not aggressive, nor should it be. It's passionate, feeling, emotive. Reminds me so much of You Take My Breath Away. F sharp, G, closing the verse on E minor harmonic. Going into the chorus, Freddie drives the direction. Is this the world we created? Simple chords, D, A, and that D tonic carries through this entire phrase of the chorus, despite the notes dancing around it in those different chords. Freddie's voice is simply flawless, soaring. It's impeccable. B minor sustained second, and Freddie reaches for that fifth. Is this the world we invaded? And as we close the chorus, the intro chords reappear in that tugging chromatic arrangement. And Freddie complements it with this impactful verse. So it seems in the end, is this what we're all living for today? When I hear Freddie's voice here, front and center, surrounded by nothing but that guitar, gentle ambience of reverb, it's so pristine. If anyone ever argues Freddie can't sing, and I've seen people say it, or they don't like his voice, I challenge a listen to this song. Tell me this doesn't touch you. Even if you just think about the words, Brian's tonic D that flies away at the end. Beautiful touch. You know that every day a helpless child is born. It's gorgeous sadness. Brian's guitar flutters and coexists with Freddie so flawlessly. Those touches of lyrical approach. Freddie's voice here is just so fantastic. It's so stunning. The way it coexists like that with Brian's playing, I just can't get over it. And it's no surprise. These boys have been doing this together forever at this point. But it just shows how thoughtful they are about the songwriting process. Somewhere a wealthy man is sitting on his throne. I keep bouncing back to Brian and his guitar through these phrases, the effortless expression. But Freddie, is this the world we created? This last phrase, this chorus, is such a beauty. There's almost, I have nothing I can say that does this justice. I get goosebumps because he's right. Freddie, he's right. If there's a God in the sky looking down, what can he think of what we've done to the world that he created? That phrase right there says everything in this song because I've thought about that so much. I believe in that. I've thought about that. What does God think about what we're doing and what we've done and what we failed to do? And the fact that these men, and I suppose it's Freddie, even if perhaps maybe Brian threw this in, Brian has been known to explore those thoughts. I've talked about Brian and his spirituality stance and how he's questioned the existence of God and what that would mean. Now, I believe in God, but I never impose that upon people. I believe, and I believe he's real, and I believe he's there. But people have to find their way. You know, you can educate them, you can talk to them, but people have to find their way. Brian has been always exploring, considering, finding his way. So this might have been his lyric, I don't know. It could have been Freddie's. But regardless of who wrote this, These men have been everywhere, singing about everything. Remember? Everything. They've touched every topic. That's what makes them so relatable. I think I recently heard an interview where Brian was saying, you know, we sing about real things, or maybe that was Freddie. We sing about real things. We sing about real life. We're not singing about extravagant rock and roll stuff all the time. We're singing about real things that happen to real people, because we are real people. And for them to go here and wonder about this so openly and put this upon us to consider, we've been given this thing, okay? Whether or not you believe that God created it or it just happened, we've been given this world, this life to live, every single one of us. And sometimes, despite our best intentions, we don't do a very good job. We fail at taking care of ourselves, each other, the world. And when that happens, things suffer. For people in parts of the world, some entirely, almost entirely, their entire life is greatly affected because of what's going on over here. And so this moment here in the song, if there's a God in the sky looking down, what can he think of what we've done? That hits me really hard. And it's supposed to. This is not supposed to be easy to digest. I love that this is coming from Freddie and Brian. This song encompasses so much in its brevity. It's a longing, a brutal honesty, a sadness, and an awareness. But it's so expressive and stunning. It's hard to believe we're ending on such a restrained, powerfully ballad note, but there it is. And I think it emphasizes, as Freddie sings through those verses, things for us to think about, things for us to ponder. Every day, somewhere, there is a new child that comes into this world that is not in good circumstances. And every day, somewhere else, there is someone, Freddie uses several examples, wealthy men on their thrones. There's someone, man, woman, someone, someone's, that is just living it up in this lavishness, and they have more than they could ever need. A lot to think about. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have comfort in life. Certainly not. But maybe it's wrong to have that blessing in life and not consider the rest of the world around you and what you could be doing, whether it's volunteering or going on a mission trip or giving people food or giving people joy. When I think about music, I think about how it touches people and the power of it. And just giving that to someone who's older and they're losing their memories, that's such an important part of retaining relationships and some connection to reality. Because when people start to lose their lives and their minds like that, and their sense of self and their very essence of their being, that's one of the scariest, saddest things to happen to people. But music can bring people back. And then the same effect can happen with people in the world who are suffering in general. Music has that kind of power. But whatever it is you want to do to contribute, especially if you have a longing, if there's a voice in you, I challenge you to embrace that and explore it and find out what that means. Because I can tell you right now, if you open up your heart and your mind and you're open to receiving, we can and do receive messages, commands. I want you to do this. I've had that happen. So this song, brief, powerful, impactful, moving, emotional, is this the world we created? And a really touching moment to end on the works. Of course, if you had the extended, the re-released version of this album, then there are some extended tracks that come after Is This the World We Created? But this is the original album closer. And this is where we're ending the works. And I can't believe we're done. Not officially. I do have to close out with my final thoughts, which I think have shifted, as is the norm. And it's a good thing. I'll tell you right now, it's a good thing. And I'm also going to reveal who stole my attention the most. And guys, I'll elaborate on the next episode, but I went through an interesting journey with who really took me on this album and impressed me the most. I was surprised how I got to my decision, but I have a lot to say about that. I have a lot to say about the works in general, and we will go into that next time. But in the meantime, I have to say I'm much happier with the way this turned out today. And I hope you guys have, whether you're kicking off your day and you're just getting started with me, first of all, thank you for tuning in. I haven't said that enough recently. Thank you for listening. I love you guys. You're great. I appreciate your enthusiasm. Did I tell you that when I received my, because my podcast is on Spotify, obviously, if you're listening there, then you know that. But when I received my Spotify Wrapped last year for this podcast, you guys, my fans, were called enthusiastic. And I thought, that's fantastic. I love that. And I wish I could see the raw data for all of that, because they're, of course, just summarizing the big things with stats and findings on people's Spotify's. But I would love to see all of the deets about how they get to that point. But nonetheless, I thank you for your enthusiasm. And I hope your day kicks off with an incredible start and you have so much to look forward to. If you're winding down and you're settling into your sheets and you're getting comfortable, I hope it's been a good one and I hope you have a restful night ahead of you. But Thanks again for tuning in. And think about it. Just listen to this song and think about it. Listen to Wembley. Check out Budapest. They're all out there on YouTube. Stunning stuff. And I think for some who may perceive Queen as just this celebratory, really loud rock band, this is a turn that makes you realize just how well-rounded these boys were and are. And I think it makes you want to explore some of those other deeper tracks again if you haven't in a while. If you only have the hits and you haven't gone through song by song by song, just pick some of them out that you don't often listen to, or maybe something that you never cared for in the past because you thought it was less than, because you thought it was less impactful, or it didn't have as much energy, or you weren't really jiving with it. Just go back and pick out something that isn't a hit, that says more, that's very reflective, that has this eye-opening moment of, wow, there's so many songs like that in Queen's catalog that when I think back to when they were written and who wrote them, it makes you realize how thoughtful these boys were and continue to be. All right, guys, that's it. And I'll talk to you next time. Keep yourselves alive.